So today we're reading Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 14. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to be praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put in effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be in the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory.
Well, it's lovely to be here again today. And I thought before I get into the word that we'll just have a bit of an update on the work on the ships. I'll be very quick, but just to give you an idea. For those who don't know me, I'm a port chaplain at Portbury and Avonmouth docks in Bristol. I'm also a county's evangelist, but my mission field is at Portbury Docks. I stuck up a picture of a ship just so you can see what it's all about. It's about ships. And obviously, we've just recently gone through Christmas. I know we're in near the end of February, but we've been giving out presents right through January. And one of the main reasons for giving out presents, really, is because the seafarer, most of them are on a nine-month contract. Every year, 9 months are away from their families. And they particularly get homesick over the Christmas period. So we want to encourage them. We want to support them. And so we go on the ships and give out these Christmas boxes. We give out, like, bags and all sorts of things, really. And it's a real blessing to the seafarers. And with the gifts, I also provide booklets. This year was the Billy Graham's The Christmas Message, but it could be Why Christmas, Nicky Gumbel's booklets. But so they know what the greatest gift is, which is Jesus Christ. But we give lots of practical helps, and for a number of weeks, I feel like Santa Claus, you know, going on the ships and really encouraging them. And it is a blessing. It's probably the only gift that they'll have over Christmas. And so it really encourages them. And, you know, throughout the week, most of what I'm doing is very practical helps. This guy here is just holding up a Wi-Fi router, because being connected to their families is what they want most of all, whether it's providing internet SIM cards or Wi-Fi router. I just got it back last night, actually, because the ship was about to go. And I managed to get the Wi-Fi back. And it's a real blessing, because what they normally do, they do like things like WhatsApp video, and they can communicate with their families, and they get it free of charge. So we continue to encourage them like that. They're just holding up SIM cards and other gifts. And it's like, most of what I'm doing is being able to chat. So if anybody knows me, know I like a good chat. And I'm on the ships. You will see lots of pictures of Filipinos, and it's because they like having their picture taken. So other nationalities, not so keen. It's like the KGB's turned up if you pull out a camera. So that's why you get a lot of Filipinos. But I get to see nationalities from all around the world. And we just sit and we talk, and I find out, you know, their stories, what's going on. And, you know, it just to become a friend to them. And that's more than likely where they'll start to open up and share some personal things. This guy here, I've mentioned him in the past. His name's Leo, and his ship's going to come in a day or two. Normally he comes in about three times a year. And the reason why I got a picture of him up is because Leo, when I met him probably a couple of months back now, and he was just sharing with me again that he was brought up in a Catholic family, but he said, I didn't really like people talking about Jesus. In fact, it used to irritate him, you know, talking about Jesus. But in recent times, he's found Jesus in his, you know, he received Jesus in his life. He said himself that he's born again. You know, his life is changed. He loves the Lord. He's really excited. And every ship he goes on, he starts up a Bible study group. And he was just telling me again that he's got this group of about seven of them. They sit in his cabin. He said to me, I don't really know what I'm doing. but he follows an online Bible study app. But I said to him, look, the Holy Spirit's in you. He will direct you. Just be yourself, you know, and, you know, as long as you've got your Bible in front of you. And with his Bible study notes, they just together open up the Word of God. But I'm excited to hear somebody like him, because one of the things that I try and get across to seafarers, who I meet a lot of religious seafarers. In fact, one told me a long time back, he said, you don't meet many atheist seafarers, particularly when a ship is sinking, you know. They tend to call out to God. So you get a lot of religious seafarers. But what I want is from religion to relationship. I want these men and women that meet on the ships to know Jesus in a personal way. Somebody like Leo is a great witness. He understands religion. He understands the life at sea. But now he has found Jesus in his life. And he's changed. He's glowing. And so what I do is I get alongside him. Just last time I met him, we're stood at the top of a ramp. He's on a car ship. It's the top of the ramp. And I just got my hand on his shoulder, just praying God's blessing upon him. It's fresh anointing. I don't know what anybody else is thinking as they're driving by in the cars that are coming off. But it's, you know, it's a real encouragement to him. And I give him Bible study material and stuff like that. So I'm looking forward. He's going to be in within a day or two. And we'll catch up again how he's getting on. But I've known him now for about 6 years. And many seafarers I don't get to see again, but occasionally I do. And fortunately for me, Leo is one of them, and the Lord is really using him. So when you're praying for this work, pray for Leo, that God would greatly use him. And he's already told me that a couple of his colleagues have become Christians. So it's wonderful to hear, and he is the best person to be sharing that good news. So I'm building him up, and he can then go on to share the good news. So I don't think there was anything else. No, that's it. So you can switch that off. Let's get right into the word. When I was looking at this passage, it just came to me how rich we are in Christ. And that's what really kind of spoke to me initially from it. And it reminded me again, I'm sure I've shared this story with you, but it's always blessed me. And it was something that Philip Yancey, if you know any of his work, I think he wrote a book, What's So Amazing About Grace. Fantastic book. And he shared about a Cambodian man who was sharing in recent times at a conference in Manila in the Philippines. And I'm just going to read this kind of section of what Philip Yancey said about this guy. He said, at a conference in Manila, a Cambodian man mesmerized the audience with his story of daily meditation. Under the Pol Pot regime, he was held in a concentration camp like those depicted in the movie The Killing Fields. Believing he had little time to live, he wanted to spend time each day with God preparing for death. And he goes on to say, this is the Cambodian man, even more than the deprivation of food, even more than torture, I resented having no time to meet with God. Always guards were yelling at us, forcing us to work, work, work. Finally, he noticed that the guards could get no one to clean out the cesspits. He volunteered for the wretched job. No one ever interrupted me, and I could do my work at a leisurely pace. Even in those stinking depths, I could look up and see the blue sky. I could praise God that I'd survived another day, and I could commune with God undisturbed and pray for my friends and relatives all around me. That became for me a glorious time with meeting with God. I've always found that encouraging because, when I think of this guy stood in a cesspit, I can't imagine anything more vile than that. And the smell, it must have been horrendous. And yet he used that opportunity to have communion with God, and he just worshipped the Lord for who he is. And I think of somebody like that, and I'm thinking, he gets it. This guy understands how rich he is in Christ. When I think about us, or think about me, how quickly I can become a bit discouraged, fed up, and just take my eyes off the Lord, can't find anything much to thank God about if things aren't just all my ducks are not in order or something like that, but this guy reveals to me somebody who understands their richness in Christ, and even in the midst of that cesspit he worships God because he can see how great he is and what God means to him. So when we look at Ephesians, Paul is really revealing again to us how rich we are in Christ. For those of us who are Christians, who belong to him, we are rich in Christ. And Paul starts off really by revealing in a couple of verses, well, verse 4 to start with, he said, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight." He chose us. And then also in verse 11, "In him we are chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will," and so on. In him we are chosen. And then John 15 verse 16, the scripture says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name." I needed to know that I've been chosen. growing up very insecure in many different ways and not feeling that I was particularly any good at anything. And to know that the Creator, a sovereign God, has chosen me made a massive difference in my life. And from that, to feel valued, that, there's something about me that, God has chosen me. And as his children, we need to remember these important promises of God. Sat here today, if you belong to him, you are chosen. God has chosen you. You are very special in his eyes. You are valued in his eyes. And I hope at the end of our time together, you would leave this place feeling encouraged that God loves you, that God values you. So God has chosen people to be his children. Why? Why has he done this? Is there something special about you and me that led God to choose us? Are we special in some way? Well, the short answer is no. You're not special in that sense. You know, in fact, the Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. No, it's not that there's something particularly about you that God says, you're the one. You know, and he can recognize something in you that's pretty dynamic. No, it's not that. He's chosen us because of his love for us and his mercy and for his glory. That's why he has chosen us to be his children. By choosing us, God highlights his gracious character and not our merit. It's not because of something particularly special about us. We're not saved because of our good works, but solely because of his grace. It's the grace of God upon us. And it's not because of who we are that God chooses us, but because of who he is. And, you know, over the years, it's really, my focus has always been on Jesus Christ. It's all about him. It's all about how wonderful and amazing he is. And I've not changed my view about that at all as the years have gone by. Do you know, naturally, we think we're chosen because somewhere along the line it's because of our own merit. It's something that we have done that have brought God's attention upon us. It's something about us. And it comes by the way that we choose people. And I think about, you know, picking teams for sports and things like that. When we were at school, not a good experience for me, because I was always the one that they didn't really want, you know, not very good at sports and that. But we choose people, maybe because they're tall, you know, they're fast, they're athletic, maybe the most popular person we know. That's why we pick people, you know, they stand out from the rest. But actually, God is not like that. And from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says this: "Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us the wisdom of God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption." It's because of him. That is why God has chosen you. And I find that absolutely encouraging, because we have a tendency to kind of beat ourselves up if we don't feel we're up to standards. And to be honest, the longer I've been a Christian, the more I realise what I'm not. But I realise what he is. You know, I am saved because of him. I'm accepted because of him. I'm valued because of him. And if you're not feeling so good about yourself today, you need to look again at why God has chosen you. Remind yourself of that. He loves you. It's because of his grace and mercy. So he has chosen us because of his love. He is love. He is gracious. He is merciful. And he has a glorious plan for those who belong to him. I think, you know, I needed to get that into my head over the years. It went like when I came to Christ, it was like he never noticed me. He went, "Oh, sorry, I didn't know you were there." You know, as I called upon his name. But you know, the scripture says, you know, "I knew you in your mother's womb." I've always known you. And God has chosen us. And I find that so liberating. You know, that sense of, you know, God, he's not making any mistakes. He knows us and he wants us to be his children. You know, because the enemy's always telling us about how rubbish we are and how we failed and messed up and stuff like that. And God is trying to get across to us that he loves us and he values us. John says in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, how great is the love of the Father he has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. God has lavished his love upon us. And that, I mean, that's a fantastic word. And it also says it in verse 8 of Ephesians 1. He has lavished his love upon us. And as you're sat here today, do you sense that? Do you sense that upon your life, that God's love is lavished upon you? We don't always feel like that. And we need to kind of take time to kind of focus upon Jesus and focus upon what we mean to him. Are you a child of God? Have you said yes to Jesus? Have you invited him into your life and received that wonderful gift of salvation? If you have, and it's already been mentioned today, we should have an attitude of gratitude. And for me, in recent times, you know, there's been lots of challenges. Maybe it's the age I'm at, I don't know, but I've lost a number of good friends, and I've got some friends at the moment who are going through very serious health problems, you know, sort of terminal stuff. And, you know, a lot of these things have weighed on me, really. And I go to the Seafare Centre in the morning before anybody else is there. And it's a wonderful time for me to get before God. And I've been, in recent times, I've been leaving my house early to get there early so I can spend more time with God. But it's not been like so much, you know, because I've got a big list to work through, you know, giving stuff to God to deal with. But I've tried to focus my attention upon God. And I think not only the immediate things that are going on in my life and, you know, the people I know around me, but what's going on around the world. You know, if you ever watch the news, it can be a bit challenging, really, because wherever you look, there are quite serious problems, you know, and you wonder where it's all going to go. And so what I've been doing is getting before God and focusing on his sovereignty, that God is actually in control over everything. Everything is beneath God. And this God, who's in control of everything, loves me. And has chosen me to be one of his children. And I, you know, as I'm focusing on that and praying and thanking God, walking around the center saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, you are in control. Because, you know, the world seems to be going to pot. But you are in control. And you know, nothing happens without your permission. And just spending time with him. And recognizing again, you know, what he has done for us. I mean, the Apostle Paul, he says in verse 3, he says, praise be to the God of and our Father, Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. And, you know, Paul gets it and he's full of praise and adoration to God, you know, because he understands what God has done for us. He understands what Jesus has accomplished on the cross. You know, we are chosen, we are accepted, redeemed by his blood, forgiven. Do these things mean much to you nowadays? And I realize, you know, for me, I've, you know, been involved in church all my life. And most of my life, I've given, you know, belonged to Jesus. I've given my life to him. But you get used to these things. It's like, yeah, big deal. You know, but actually, it is a big deal. You know, we are saved. You know, there is, instead of a hopeless end, which is what most people seem to be facing at the moment, thinking, good grief, you know, where is this all going to end up? If you belong to Jesus, you have an endless hope. It goes on into eternity. We are secure because of it. Nothing because of what we've done. You know, it's not by good works in that. It's what Christ has achieved on the cross through his death and resurrection. God had a master plan. I was watching a documentary on YouTube the other day, and it was going on about the Dead Sea Scrolls and all that sort of stuff, you know. And just reminding us again that God always had it in hand what was going to happen with Jesus on the cross. It's there hundreds of years before. There it is in Isaiah 53, all spelled out, you know, how Christ was going to be crucified. God, you know, is had this wonderful master plan that he's followed through, and we are rescued because of it. We are redeemed. We are forgiven. And the longer that I've been a Christian, the more I am grateful. And the more I realize that I could not have done anything to have saved myself. You know, good works would have never, you know, never made the difference. It is what God has done. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. He's given us divine power. He hasn't just said, off you go then, you know, try your best. But he's given us his Holy Spirit, which indwells within us. When I went to Bible college back in 83, one of the kind of like the things that they pushed home continually to us as students is Christ in you. Christ in you. And, you know, this is made possible by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We have that heavenly power within us to make a difference. How often do we say, Holy Spirit, fill me anew. Fill me anew. There's a saying that we, you know, we leak. You know, as Christians, we leak. And that's probably not sort of doctrinal in that sense. But, you know, we need that constant filling of the Holy Spirit. That God will empower us so that we can live a life that's pleasing to him. We need the power of God in our lives, and he's given us his Holy Spirit. And Paul goes on to remind us in verse 13 and 14 that through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is sealed within each and every one of God's children, which now guarantees our future inheritance in heaven. You know, one day when we're stood before him, God's going to see, you know, we have the Holy Spirit within us. We belong to him, and we're going to be enter into eternity, into his presence. God has done all of this for those who are his children. So what Christ has achieved on the cross through his death and resurrection has satisfied God. And provided that forgiveness for our sins. In him we have redemption through his blood. Done a bit of a summary of Ephesians 1. This, you know, every spiritual blessing that we get from God. He has chosen us. He has adopted us. He has accepted us. He has redeemed us. He has forgiven us. He has revealed God's will to us. He has made us an inheritance, and he has sealed us with his Holy Spirit. You can see why Paul's getting excited by it all. And the Lord wants to remind us of these things again today. We are rich in Christ, and he's done it all for you and me. If you don't know Jesus, you haven't received him into your life, then today's a good opportunity, and it's free. Lord, come into my life. Forgive me. Forgive me. And accept me into your kingdom. But as Christians, we need to keep our eyes on the fact that we are rich in Christ. I had a conversation with somebody a little while back who had been going through quite a tough time, but they just said, expressed really that God was a major letdown. And hadn't been doing anything for them, hadn't answered any prayers, and it was all a big disappointment. And yet, we are rich in Christ. We've been given every spiritual blessing. I think sometimes we concentrate on the physical and the material. You know, we just want good health, like we all do, really. We want good health, We want a nice home and all these kind of things, nice cars, stuff like that. But actually, God wants to give us spiritual blessings that go on into eternity, that don't decay and break down. And, you know, these are wonderful things. Now, I can't make you take this on board, all right? And my responsibility is for me to get before God and to open my eyes to the fact that he is wonderful, you know, and he's chosen me. And I want you to go away today and just think again about these things that God has given to you. Do you feel that God has lavished his love upon you? Did you kind of sense that in your life? And if you don't, it's not. I don't want to condemn you. I want to encourage you to go away and think again how much God loves you and values you and what he's done in order to bring you into his family. To be encouraged today. And I'm going to close now. So that's a good thing, isn't it? Let me close in prayer. Father God, thank you for your great love which you have lavished upon your children. Thank you that you have done everything to bring us into your family. You have chosen us and redeemed us, called us by name, and given us a wonderful inheritance, sealing us with your Holy Spirit. Father God, as we look around a world which seems to fall apart at the seams, Lord God, it's all in your hands. And we have a wonderful inheritance in you, Lord God. We've got so much to be thankful for. Open our eyes again today to see who you are and what it means to you, who we are. Help us to see our value in you, Jesus. In your precious name. Amen.